the Ravens won that. And, yeah. My name is Charlie Fox. I'm the director of the bar. It came out of an interest that I had in following the street dogs in North India when travel down and ended up thinking of residency project with Indian artists. And we're pleased to say we've been given some emergency funding by the Arts Council England to be able to sort of develop this strand and various other strands of the Inspiral London project. And this obviously is a project that correctly comes out of the current crisis and the measures, because the idea is really to try and allow other people to walk with us, those who are not comfortable going out at night for all sorts of reasons, or even would be unable to do it anyway. And there's a whole hinterland of walking precariously, walking for the other, walking as the other. Yes, so the project came out. So the ethology of performative work, ways of being or becoming or thinking as an animal, which many people have been exploring. I had a personification as a laughing bear, which I was trying to move on from, so that the street dogs in India were immediately charismatic, and as the philosophers of the street, as the cynics, the inspiration for the cynical movement in ancient places, subsequently in the so-called West, sealed off, slightly barbaric West. We were being fed and nurtured by the rich cultures and the rich cultural animal and animal behaviour within cities in places like India. Completely different attitudes to cohabitation, the other, for all sorts of reasons, not only to do with the religion, but obviously their roles. And they certainly have a role, the street dogs of India, very, very defined roles within different environments, different in cities than from villages. But nevertheless, they still have defined roles. And similarly, I mean, the urban fox definitely has some defined roles in the city now.
And I can't really see any other
it's difficult
reason for it.
I mean, to quantify that, I'm sure someone could do that. I was reading
my mind,
a reason for the natural history of
Black
Tarn. I'm not sure either. It goes to a very industrial part of a walking
state. Yeah, maybe it's like the Black Country, you know. It was all smoky around here. But then we have
my favourite pylon.
One of my favourite pylon is just coming up. But we've just heard of someone rehearsing, I think, or someone doing a lockdown gig stream thing from the studios here, Mentmore Studios, I think they were in, at the back of there. And also some sounds of loads of Kingsmill bread going along a conveyor belt across the car park. Might see if I've got any yeast later. So I'm short of flour now. I've become obsessed with bread making. But yeah, we're just crossing the... This is Argyle Avenue, which is the trading estate, sort of light industrial estate, by on the way to the marshes. And there's a couple of young people out partying. So, rather flamboyantly dressed gentleman, which is good to see. Has some baked laundry, which I always think is of you know, kind of a nice local business, and they are, but they're out of business, it looks like. There's no steam coming out of Bates' laundry. It's all been, I guess all their business has come from hotels and things. And since there's no one in the hotels, there's no dirty sheets. And now we're just on the bridge over the railway line between...
Oh, well, that would be my favourite
island. Yeah. The railway from Liverpool Street to Cambridge, I think, perhaps, through the bridge. And I don't know, it reminds me of, I grew up in Coventry and there was a bridge called Anarchy Bridge, where all the anarchists used to do their graffiti. It's a bit like that here. It's all very little, jolly critical of the government. This is the River Lee flood relief channel. This is what the Dagenham Brook sort of joins up with.
It doesn't even just sort of, it does. It just kind of dissolves into it.
Disappears
into it.
That's what I meant. It's not entirely a tributary, more of a...
Weed.
Yeah, it's absolutely smattered. We'll be posting some of these photographs on the website later. I'll just test the... I'll just make sure we're still streaming. Well, theoretically... Yes. So the train, the DLR train, has just arrived, coming south from Canary Wharf side to Elveson Road. This is where Inspiral London crosses and goes up to Blackheath. But we're going to go carry further south down to the Quaggy. We can hear some ducks.
Bear mount. Beautiful stained glass front door.
I'm just leaving Brook Mill Park. So the River Ravensbourne is in a concrete passage here, going under the road. and you can hear it running, slightly echoing.
Around here is where the area is maintained the same. Delivery drivers. Suspect we might hear quite a few more delivery drivers from now on this evening.
There's three geese just passed overhead, following the line of the river.
Slightly more.
Might find them later on down at Caterford Park, down at Lee, further down the river, near the source. Across the river.
Housing design.
So if anyone knows some of London's network of cycle and pathways, like the urban flocks might. This is the Waterlink Way, which is designed to try and link up the Ravensbourne and the various other rivers going down towards the source at Seas as well. And I did that walk about a month ago. I think the foxes are quite confused at the moment because they have the city entirely to themselves for about 4 maybe 6 weeks, and then, you know, it's gradually got more and more traffic back on the road, certainly as we noticed last time we came out on the Skulk. People driving maybe anything up to 60 miles an hour, you know, twice as fast as they should in the evening, because why not? They can. But it's kind of makes the sound space and the soundscape slightly erratic. So you think you're in a peaceful city, locked down, everyone at home. And then someone goes screeching around the corner.
Yeah, because normally this time of year they'd be building it all up.
And that, as we were talking about, is the major.
Or the Sex Pistols. Did you see the Sex Pistols?
Cause of death or cause of injury.
No.
For foxes. Predatory car driver. Bus driver. And of course I went out to see the fox.
Johnny Lydon in it as well. Have you ever met him?
No.
Like, interesting man. Oh right, but doesn't he live in LA now?
No, he's Mark McLaren.
Is Mark McLaren still alive?
Still alive.
This, we're talking about an old headmistress of our school called Phyllis Wallbank, who died this year, aged 101. Quite a force of nature. So we're just crossing over the you can cycle around here.
Can you go?
No. No. You can hear the trains in the distance. They're going up along the edge of Finsbury Park. Quite a lot of people exercising. Hi there.
We're down the river again.
We're wondering what the other skulking foxes are doing around different parts of London. The South London contingent in Epping Forest. We're now the Finsbury Foxes, I think. How we'll be defined. It is a beautiful evening. But yeah, the sound of birds has definitely been replaced by traffic again in this part of the world. Oh, we can see the Shard from here. You see the top of the Shard there?
Yeah.
Bright blue. Just through the gap. There's a lot of history about Finsbury Park. I think it was a barracks here, wasn't there? Which is why it was why the red light area grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it became one. I think it was historically, it must have been hundreds of years ago, but I don't know when the barracks went. Finsbury Park.
Backwards.
Backwards, yes. I've heard of Finsbury Park backwards. Tell me again. Yeah, Finsbury Park backwards. This one's remember. I best not. I don't think I can pronounce it. I'll get in trouble with Orla about my pronunciation. So yeah, there are a few fellow people, foxes, still around in Finsbury Park, sitting on benches on their own, observing a bit of social distance. Actually, no, they're not on this side. Anyway. Takeaways are doing well. Someone got a fire down there.
No,
no, on the left. Barbecue, I'm imagining it. It's just a reddish light. Casco, the dog's just been approached by a very large white hound. Coming down into Finsbury Park proper now, it's getting a bit busier. There's a big group of people who were playing football earlier. Still going. If you want to say Finsbury Park backwards, you're most welcome.
Finsbury Park backwards.
So, I think we're going to say cheerio. The foxes of Finsbury Park are going to say goodnight for now.
Been tamed to some extent.
They're not wild or anything, they're not pets. Sorry. Yellow eyes.
I think it was Andrea Oliver's husband, Andrea Oliver, who's on TV. She told me once in the pub, this is a long story, that it was her. Yeah, well, it's actually not that long. It's long, actually. Me trying to remember the details of the story is long. So I won't... How many cows are there? I think there's two. Does that mean it's going to rain?
One of the opportunities, the river flows back down to the River Thames. There are some little bits of refreshing, life-giving H2O, without which there would be very little life in the city. Would there be any life
in the bushes along the side of the building?
So, to Mr. Fox, they all shouted, standing up and raising their glasses. To Mr. Fox, long may he live. Then Mrs. Fox got shyly to her feet and said, I don't want to make a speech, I just want to say one thing, and it is this. My husband is a fantastic fox. Everyone clapped and cheered, then Mr. Fox himself stood up. This delicious meal, he began, then he stopped. In the silence that followed, he let fly a tremendous belch. There was laughter and more clapping. This delicious meal, my friends, he went on, is by courtesy of Messrs. Boggs, Bunce and Bean. More cheering and laughter. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. He let fly another colossal belch. Better out than in, said Badger. Thank you, said Mr. Fox, grinning hugely. But now, my dear friends, let us be serious. Let us think of tomorrow and the next day, and the days after that. If we got out, we will be killed. Right? Right, they shouted. We'll be shot before we've gone a yard, said Badger. Exactly, said Mr. Fox. But who wants to go out anyway? Let me ask you that. We're all diggers, every one of us. We hate the outside. The outside is full of enemies. We only go out because we have to get food for our families. But now, my friends, we have an entirely new setup. We have a safe tunnel leading to three of the finest stores in the world. We do indeed, said Badger. I've seen them. And you know what this means, said Mr. Fox. It means that none of us need ever go out into the open again. There was a buzz of excitement around the table.
Say hello to us.
I therefore invite you all, Mr. Fox went on, to stay with me here forever. Forever, cried. They cried. My goodness, how marvellous, and Rabbit, and to Mr. Rabbit. My dear, just think, we're never going to be shot at again in our lives. We will make, said Mr. Fox, a little underground village. with streets and houses on each side, separate houses for badgers and moles and rabbits and weasels and foxes. And every day I will go shopping for you all, and every day we will eat like kings. The cheering that followed this speech went on for many minutes. So that was a passage from The Fantastic Mr. Fox, written by Roald Dahl, probably in the 1970s. A very influential book. And we're going to hear from some other books, hopefully tonight. Other people have got some readings to share with us. And I will be reading from some other folk tales and children's tales about foxes later. But for now, I'm just going to leave you and come back to you in a minute.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Yeah, yeah, we're recording, we're live. We're live here, April.
Is a sea of wells. The centre of London is currently in danger of drowning. Read an article about 20 years ago, but how accurate, all down the road, from the Thames water.
Yeah.
There's a 24/7 war on its hands against some of these, I think they're called artesian wells that people drill when they were living around the Thames and Vinyan and exploded out. There's all this fresh water supply in the artesian wells.
Yeah.
And now, constantly having to be pumped out. I live in a house 12 feet from the river. Yeah. If you run through the basin, it wasn't used to that, but you could see the tide.
Work in a place in bank, in a bank.
What happened was one weekend, the employers decided to get to the bank, so there was an organizer. These guys came in and said, you know, score.
We're not going to stoop to their level. We don't want to kill them. I should hope not, indeed, said Mr. Badger. We wouldn't dream of it, said Mr. Fox. We shall simply take a little food here and there to keep us and our families alive. Right? I suppose we'll have to, said Badger. If they want to be horrible, let them, said Mr. Fox. We down here are decent, peace-loving people. Badger laid his head on one side and smiled at Mr. Fox. Foxy, he said, I love you. Thank you, said Mr. Fox. And now let's get on with the digging. So I'm just reading some of the fantastic Mr. Fox. So have you bought your Windsor and...
I have, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'm just here with James Easterway, skulking from Broccoli, and he's got his book to share. I was saying that the fantastic Mr. Fox was perhaps one of the most important books of my childhood as well.
Yeah.
And I was reading it again, I was thinking the vividness, I just have such vivid image of the three farmers and their sort of their horrific kind of human meanness and that sort of and that the fox was like just such a massive hero.
Yes,
and the
absolutely.
fact that
yeah.
it wasn't just the outwitting of it, it's the philosophy behind
yeah.
it and the way that it's like a,
yeah.
it speaks volumes. So there's one more part I will read later on, but for now, I'll pass you over to James, who's bought this beautiful book.
Yeah.
I mean, I really remember the illustrations, obviously, to the fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
this
yeah.
book, now, Anne was saying she might, Anne Robinson was saying she might have read this book as a child.
Oh, yes.
So,
Vix, the story of a fox cub. I mean, it's incredibly saccharine and, you know, 1960s.
Mm. Is it written then? Is it not written in the 30s?
Oh, no, I think it's written in the... I don't know. I think it was written in the 50s, probably, and first published 1960.
Okay.
But, funnily enough, the guy who wrote, who did the beautiful pictures, absolutely gorgeous, what are they? What sort of thing is that?
These are... You know what these are? This is something that became very fashionable.
Yeah.
It's like, you know those you do them at school? They're
yes.
like a blackboard and you scratch them.
Yes, yes.
They're like a
oh,
kind
yes,
of
yes,
cheap
yes, yes.
version
yeah.
of an engraving.
Yes,
but it's,
yes, yes.
It's like a blackboard yeah. and you take a little sharp implement and you can scratch away the blackness. So it's perfect for a nighttime
yeah.
illustration.
Yeah.
So the illustrations are mostly
yes.
Quite dark.
Yeah.
And then they have these...
Yeah.
little vignettes as well.
Yeah.
Which it's a very sort of classic engraving
yeah.
technique.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no way those are done with a wood engraving. They've been done on a,
no, yeah,
a
you
cardboard.
Can see the scratches.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. You did that
thing.
At school probably. You
yeah,
probably
yeah,
just
I remember
yeah,
that too, yeah.
You obviously weren't as skilled as whatever his name
DJ
was.
DJ Ripkin's picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, with some practice.
Yeah. But funny enough he himself wrote a book about a fox.
Okay.
In the 30s or 40s, I think. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a bit like
an illustrator himself. But really
not quite the same, but. What's oh, what's
the like
the illustrator for Roald Dahl? Not all the things, but the later ones. He writes as well. There's the fox in the background.
Yeah. More snow.
So is there any part of it to read that you that would give a flavour? It's quite a dense book.
It is. It is.
The
more
Hunter
snow.
Hunted.
Yeah.
That looks a good chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder whether I can find the bit about...
Maybe if you do it as we walk along, because we're a little bit behind schedule.
Yeah,
we need to go...
Yeah. So this was something that that always made an impression on me as a kid, about the fox hunting a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether this is true about foxes kind of hunting in ever-decreasing circles and hypnotising. Is that true?
Well, you described it with the food, when they came to get your food in,
well, that's
in Spain.
True. That's
it's
true.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly,
yeah.
Certainly when I've
yeah.
been going out,
yeah.
they do that. They kind
yeah.
of... They get closer, and then
yeah.
they're still, and you
yeah.
know, they think, like a lot of animals,
yeah.
that if they're still, you can't see them,
yeah.
or they're hypnotising
yeah, yeah,
yeah. exactly
yeah.
with their eyes.
Yeah.
Well, I think
yeah.
that obviously the prey is absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
So the prey is normally unable to move, I suppose.
Yeah.
unless the fox makes a stupid move, the prey is sort of in this kind of weird, exactly, it is like a hypnotic state of fear. As we know.
So do you want to walk?
Yeah, let's walk, keep walking. So we've got the seagull here and various, we had a few geese and things. I was saying this is the new look Lewisham, just here. But it's obviously designed to capture the water if it floods.
No. What's going on here? There's water.
This is
two rivers.
This is the Quaggy.
Yeah.
Coming into the Ravensbourne.
Ravensbourne.
Yeah. It's a real real cracker here.
Yeah.
This is all covered over, really. Yeah. Not really not exposed. And obviously over here you can see the Quaggy, but I was saying how the Quaggy could be opened up in Lewisham, it would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's under concrete as it goes past the police station. But a lot of lucky people have it at the back of their gardens.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you'll see. It's pretty much exposed, the actual river,
maybe
all the way.
Maybe they've got it at the back of the police station. Maybe Rebecca Brooks is fell.
Yeah. Well,
remember she was there?
Was she?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
seeing her being frog marching.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, didn't last long. Now she's living the life of Riley.
This is the Quaggy here as we cross the by the. So we were here a bit further up, going up to Blackheath 2 weeks ago, and now here is the Quaggy.
Yeah.
Almost moonlit.
And it's deep, isn't it?
It's deep. There we go. There's the fox.
Very sweet, that's young.
He's going, he just saw a adolescent fox, let's say, just jumped up onto the wall down the other side into the bank side of the river here. And the river sort of follows along by the main road till we get to the police station and then goes in a culvert. I was imagining a sort of Reclaim the Streets type project with John Jordan and all that, because of course, you know, Platform, they did a project following the hidden rivers of London, and they exposed these maybe in the 80s, and I think quite a lot of this sort of interest in these waterways comes out of those projects, to be honest. It really reignited people's interest. And there's I love the Quaggy.
Oh, look at the few ducks.
Yeah, big. Well, presumably the fox is
high
nose up. To be careful. He's got the cover of the police sirens to get to hypnotise them. So here is the culvert. You see. Now you can imagine. You could easily walk underneath
the
way to the other side.
Yeah.
It's about 500 metres, but it would be a kind of interesting thing to do, to walk along this. And obviously, this time of year, when there's not a lot of rain, it would also be, that looks like the fox had decapitated a pigeon. I know, well exactly, they must do, they must use that as a... it is a bit... they were actually saying, Grant and Max, when they were listening, because we were at the Woolwich Foot Tunnel, that it was a bit, for a moment, a bit like the film Indiana. What's the one with in the tunnels, in the sewers? Harry Lyme.
Yes.
That film.
Yeah, that one.
There's a number of films that you
saw.
Not the 39 Steps. That's what I'm thinking. It's called that one anyway. Funnily enough, I was going to talk about that a bit later on because I was talking about that food, starvation, feeding yourself. We just had that with the Fantastic Mr. Fox, but I watched La Ricotta, the film by Pasolini, and of course the director who sort of plays him is Orson Welles. And Orson Welles is Harry Lyme, isn't he?
Yes.
That famous scene.
Yeah.
And that, again, of course, is all about what we're talking about. It's all about the illegal trade in penicillin. That's what he's trading, isn't it? in Vienna, because everyone's dying.
Yes.
He's making a fortune out of knockoff penicillin.
Ah.
to save everyone